The past several weeks, we've been looking at miracles that Jesus performed, and we've been expecting miracles, right? And we started in Matthew chapter 8, and we moved through the miracles of Matthew chapter 8, and we moved all the way through Matthew, looking at all the miracles that Jesus performed. We looked at the shedding of the beggar's cloak by Bartimaeus. We looked at the feeding of the 5,000, and we looked at Peter walking on water, and we looked at every miracle that's in Matthew, and today we're going to look at a miracle it's not in Matthew at all. It's actually only mentioned in the book of Mark. It's the only miracle that Mark cites by himself, and it's in Mark chapter 8. It says in verse 22, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" He asked him that after he took his hands off. He didn't have his hands still over his eyes. Just thought I'd share that part. The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." And then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open, and his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. And Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." You know, I think about this story, and there's a couple things that just jump out. First, Jesus takes this guy away from the village. You know, and then the whole spit thing, and we'll get there in a minute. But you know, these people, they bring their friend to Jesus, they bring him to him and ask him to heal him. And when I think about this, I think about people who get to a point where they're like, "I'm just destined to be this way." And I have a feeling that this guy was probably at that point in his life, where he got to a point where he said, "I can't do this on my own. I can't do this anymore." He's saying, I'm just destined to be blind. I'll never be healed. I know people who have said that to me. "I'm just destined to be this way, that there's no healing for me." And when you ask them about it, they respond that, you know, they said, "I used to respond for every healing altar hall. Everyone I would respond." And he said, and this is a true story, the guy told me that. He said, "Every person that prayed for me, so all the Toms, Peters, and Johns, and Jameses, they all prayed for me, but nothing happened. And it's been years, and I'm still this way, and I don't think it's going to happen." And I have a feeling that maybe this guy got to that point. I can't prove it, but I think about this guy. He wasn't born blind. It's something that happened after the fact. Otherwise, how would he know that it was walking trees, right? But I bet he was a little bit skeptical about the whole thing. His friends take him to Jesus, and he's a little bit skeptical about it. The friends insisted, "This guy is different. It's not like the guy we went to before. This guy is different. He's been doing all these miracles." So they bring him to Jesus, and they're begging him to lay his hands on their friend. And this guy was skeptical. He didn't know if it would happen. He didn't know if he could or would be healed. He didn't know if he would be able to see clearly. But there are a few things that jump out to me in the first two verses. Is when they arrived in Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" Now, my first thought about this when I think about him laying his hands on him is, we're not looking at the spit right now. He laid his hands on him. He's like, "Guess who's there?" Right? No, he can't see anything when your hands are over his face, Jesus. Come on. But the whole spit thing, right? Jesus gets to Bethsaida, and they're begging they bring this guy to him, and they're begging him to heal him. And the first thing that Jesus does, he doesn't talk to the guy according to what Mark says. He doesn't talk to him or anything. He just says, come with me, and he leads him out of the village. He leads him out of the village. And Bethsaida was a fishing community on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And Philip was from Bethsaida, as well as Andrew and Peter. That was their hometown. And so this isn't the first time that Jesus has been here. Jesus has been to Bethsaida many times. In fact, there's several things that we've already talked about that he did in Bethsaida. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law happened in Bethsaida. The feeding of the 5,000 happened right there outside of Bethsaida. And the people knew Jesus. They know the miracles that he's performed. They knew who he was. Yet Jesus leads this man out of the village. And we've seen Jesus do this a couple of other times. And every time I find it off, and I understand with the deaf guy that he led out of the village, I understand. If you automatically couldn't hear and then you could, and all the noise, that would be, it would be terrifying. But this makes no sense. Until you read Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, when it says, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin? What sorrow awaits you, Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre or Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago. Despite the fact that these people have seen miracles, despite the fact that they've heard Jesus' teachings, the town remains spiritually blind and unrepentant. He fed these people. He performed miracles there, yet they had no change. Bethsaida had witnessed power but resisted change. When Jesus took the blind man out of Bethsaida, he wasn't just moving him out of the village. He was leading him out of an atmosphere of unbelief into an atmosphere of faith. Bethsaida saw miracles, but it didn't believe. Sometimes to see clearly, God has to lead us out of places or seasons where faith has died, even if they're familiar places. They brought this blind man to Jesus, and we've seen other places to where the blind were calling out to Jesus, right? They were calling out to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. But this guy was brought to Jesus. So there was some faith among his friends, at least. Enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal this man. But he takes him out of the village. The fact that Jesus rebuked the village shows me that the unbelief was so high. But also think about it like this. Sometimes God has to get us past the distractions and the noise and the familiar before he can do the miraculous. Healing often begins in a quiet place. Jesus led him out of the village to get him away from the familiar. This guy had to put his trust in Jesus. When Jesus is leading him out of Bethsaida, he had to put his trust in him. He couldn't see to God himself, right? He's stepping into unfamiliar places. If I'm walking around my house in the dark, unless someone left a landmine of a toy or something in the floor, I can pretty much get around my house with no lights on and not being able to see anything, right? But you put me in somebody else's house in the dark and no lights on, I'm probably not going to find my way around very well. It's not familiar. It's not familiar. It was this. He could walk around the city because of the different noises that he would hear in certain areas. He could hear noises. He could hear certain things. He could smell certain things. He knew where he was at. But Jesus led him out of the familiar. He had to trust completely on Jesus. I read a story about a blind piano tuner in Africa. And every week, he would walk several miles to local churches to tune their old pianos. And someone asked him, how do you find your way? And he said, I don't have to see the path. I just have to know the one who leads me. This guy's out here, he's trust Jesus. He's put his trust in Jesus. to lead him, to not lead him into trouble or into danger, but lead him into healing and into the miraculous. When God begins to guide us into unfamiliar territory, how will you respond? When God told Abraham to leave his country, his relatives, his father's house, he didn't give Abraham a map, just a promise. The scripture says, Abraham left not knowing where he was going. He walked by faith and not by sight. Sometimes God can't heal you in the same environment that hurt you. He'll lead you out before he brings you in. Just because he's not moving the way that he did 20 years ago doesn't mean that he's not moving. We can get so caught up in what's not happening that we miss what God is trying to do. This guy could have said, no, I'm not leaving the city. I'm familiar here. I like it here. I like what's going on here. I don't want anything ever to change. God can't move anymore. God can't move anymore because we got rid of the green pews and got chairs. God can't move anymore because we painted the walls gray instead of yellow that it was. God can't move. God can't move because we're not singing the songs that we were 20 years ago. I'll move on. I can stay here for a while. I'll move on. I heard a story about this guy, and he had a goldfish, and he bought a new, larger fish tank for his goldfish, and he transferred it from the small bowl into the bigger tank, but the fish still swam in circles the same size as the old bowl because it had been set by its old boundaries. And God has to lead us out of small places, out of small spaces, out of Bethsaida thinking, because we're learning to swim circles of unbelief, or we're learning to swim circles of familiarity, and he can't do anything because if certain people don't pray a certain way, or this doesn't happen and this doesn't happen, then God can't move. We think God can only move in certain ways. We have set our own parameters of what we want, how we want God to move, and where we want him to move. Healing begins when we let him lead us beyond what's familiar. That doesn't mean that you're going to a new place so much as it means you're moving out of your familiar seat that you sit in every week. Maybe for you, stepping out of familiar is stepping out of your seat and coming to the altar. Maybe for you, stepping out of familiar is talking to someone who you don't normally talk to. Will you allow him to guide you into the unfamiliar? Will you allow him to do something new in you? Verse 23, he says, Jesus took the blind man. We're going to read a couple of verses right here. Verse 23 says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? And the man looked around. Yes, he said, I can see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. And then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. He took him by the hand, and he leads him out of the city, and then spitting on his eyes. Not one time he spit more than once. You don't spitting without spitting more than once. He didn't spit on his hands and transfer it to his eyes. He spit right on this dude's eyes, and the guy didn't even see it coming. I was waiting the whole time to say that. It says spitting, so we know that he spit on both eyes. And the guy was like, wait, what just happened? Guess who? He puts his hands on him. Can you see now? Yeah, maybe. I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. It's blurry. Are those people or trees walking around? Because if trees are walking around, I don't want to see it anymore. It would appear that this man had lost his sight because of an accident, or at least he wasn't born blind. And because we're able to make out something and he could tell Jesus what it looks like, so he wasn't born this way. Something happened along the way that caused him to get there. And some of us have been dealing with things that have happened along the way that caused us to get where we are, and we're too familiar and too comfortable with where we are to move out of the familiarity and let God move in our lives and change it now. This is good. I'm okay. I'm okay blind. I'm familiar with my territory. I can get around town. I can smell the bakery. I'm okay. Verse 25 said, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. He could see everything clearly. Now the spit is gone. Took two hand times. This is the only place that we see Jesus heal someone that the healing was progressive. It didn't instantly happen. It happened in phases. He could partially see. Now he can see all the way. What if the guy would have said, though, when it was blurry, I can see blurry, but it's good. Thanks for the partial healing. I'm good. What if when God started healing him, and it didn't happen all at once, the guy said, I'm not healed. I guess it's not for me. I've seen people that God begins a healing work in them, and you can physically see something happen. One person in particular that I'm thinking about, I saw God heal him. I saw the change. I saw their complexion and everything, the way they walked, everything changed in a moment. They told me they felt better and everything. For a week later, them to tell me, I'm not healed. Everybody saw it, man. Everyone saw. Well, I did some things this week and my muscles are aching. Yeah, you haven't used them in a while. But he was convinced that he wasn't healed. He put the beggar's cloak back on, and he's sicker now than he was before. Bartimaeus, when he threw the beggar's cloak off, he didn't have any intentions of going back for it. When he threw it off, the scripture says he threw it. He didn't drop it, James. He threw it. He had no intentions of finding it again. When we go to God and we ask him to heal us, when we're saying we want to be healed, we can't put the beggar's cloak back on. We got to be done with it. We have to let him heal us. I was reading this passage and getting ready. I think probably one of the most impactful parts of this whole passage isn't the fact that the man was healed. To me, it's not the fact that the man was healed. It's not the fact that Jesus let him out of the city. And I really believe that the reason that he let him out of the city was because of the unbelief in the city. But one of the most important parts of this whole thing is in verse 26, when he looks at the man and he says, don't go back into the village on your way home. Don't go back into the village. You are healed. You can see. Don't go back to the village. He wasn't telling him, never go back to the village that you're from. What he was saying to him was, don't go back to the unbelief. Don't fall back into the trap of unrepentance. Don't go back into familiarity of sin. When people get freed for something, they can't keep it around. I've heard people say, well, I keep it around as a remembrance. Well, remembrance is going to hit you one day. Get rid of it. Don't let it hang around. Because it's familiar sin, and it's familiar. The familiarity eventually will draw you back in. Maybe you've been waiting for a miracle. Maybe it feels delayed. Maybe it feels partial or out of reach. Jesus can heal you today. Jesus can heal you today. Will you let him? We could go around the room and we could talk to people who God has done something in their life or is doing something in their life. Are you going to let him complete the work? Or are you going to fall back into it? Jesus still leads people by the hand. He still leads us out of unbelief. He still finishes what he starts. He still fulfills all of his promises. He doesn't speak something. He doesn't call you. He doesn't speak something into your life to then take it away. The scripture says his gifts and his calls are irrevocable. It's up to us. Are we going to live in unbelief or are we going to walk in freedom? Are we going to let him take us by the hand today and lead us into the unfamiliar? Or are we going to stay in familiarity? Because it's comfortable here. I'm okay with my pet sins. I'm okay with this little ailment, this little thing. I've dealt with it this long, and it's been around for a while, and I think if it went away, I don't know how I would live. It's always been my ailment. It's what I can always blame things on. It's what I can blame not wanting to go be around people. My ingrown toenail is flaring up again. Can't come out. Instead of letting God heal us, we become familiar with it, and so we've allowed it to stay around. Are we going to let him finish the work? Are you going to let him finish the work he started in? Are you going to let him say it? Do it? Are you going to let him finish the work until you can say, I can see clearly now? Or are you going to let the spit stay in your eyes? I ask everyone the wood to stand to your feet today. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I thank you for, for, for touching. I thank you for delivering. God, I thank you for the healings that have taken place in this place. Lord, I thank you for the people in this place that are free because you let them out of familiarity. But Lord, I pray that today that the ones that are still living in familiarity, that are still living with things in their lives, whether it's sickness, whether it's sin, no matter what it is, whether it's unbelief, Lord, I pray that today that you set them free from that. That you give them the belief that they need. That you give them the healing that they need. That you set them free today. Maybe you're here and you've been dealing with something. Maybe you got partially healed. Maybe God started the work, but you still let the little piece hang around. It was your security blanket. You carried it out. And today you say, I'm ready to lay it down. I don't want to carry around this unbelief. I don't want to carry around this problem, this situation, this circumstance any longer. I don't want to carry around this sickness any longer. I'm ready to be free. I'm ready to be healed. I'm ready to be delivered. I want to invite you to come. Maybe God's been speaking to you about something and you're afraid to step out because it'll be stepping out into unfamiliar territory. And you're comfortable in the familiarity. You don't want to step out. I encourage you to move. Maybe coming to this altar is stepping out of the familiar for you. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you. Lord, I just thank you right now. I believe there's some more that need to be at this place, at this altar, God. And Lord, I just pray that you just begin to move, that you begin to move and you begin to draw them right now, God. That you begin to draw them in. Lord, I pray that you touch today, God. Lord, I pray that we leave this place changed today because of what you're doing in this altar. We just thank you today. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.